Yeah.
But
yeah, and the prophecy, you know, we in the last live stream, there's the office of the prophet,
yes,
confirmed in Ephesians chapter 4. Then you have the gift of prophecy,
yes,
not the office of prophet,
right,
but the gift of prophecy, which is used. And then you have, not a different classification necessarily, but then you have, as in a church service,
mm-hmm,
where somebody would come forward and give a word,
yes,
it could be prophecy. So to you, if I'm giving you a personal, if I feel I receive something, and I'm just sharing with you what I feel.
Yeah.
The difference between that and the person coming down front in church for the edification of the church. I mean,
yeah,
is it different in the usages, or is it the same thing, just different application? Or
It is. The usage is the same. Mm-hmm. It should have the same outcome. Verification, edification, mm-hmm, comfort, and exhortation are in those three words. But if I was going to give somebody a word, unless I was a minister, and what I would do is I would do just what you said. I would go to them and I would talk to them and say, hey, you know, I'm feeling impressed that God is dealing with you here, or God wants you to do that. Does that bear witness with you? And if they say no, say, okay, all right.
Yeah, and I think what you just said, we were talking about it at, a little bit beforehand. Go to somebody and say, God told me to tell you this, versus come and say, you know, this is something I feel the Lord has laid to me. Let me share it with you. And as you said, just bear witness to you.
Yes.
Is this a confirmation to you? And share it.
Yeah.
You know,
God said to Isaiah, come, let us reason together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sit down here as covenant partners.
Yes.
Jesus, he did get stern when he said, you generation of vipers. And he did get stern when he said, Peter, get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But he also spoke very compassionately, very individually to them,
mm-hmm,
because he spoke to Judas, and Judas, what you do, go do quickly.
Yeah.
He didn't say, you son of the devil, I'm telling you, God warned me about you. I knew it was you all along, you change stealer. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
So even in rebuking and stuff like that, you know, you don't want to do that in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to have problems with your kids and have them get worse than they are, try to correct them in front of people.
Right.
Don't do that. Take them to the bathroom, yeah, wear them out, praise God, and when they come out crying, say, well, you know, he's been constipated, and I just beat it out of him, or whatever. And, but I remember they told a story about, was it Ryan or?
My son, Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took him. He was acting up in a restaurant, and instead of at the table, we had guests with us. I took him to the bathroom. He was just a little guy. And I took him, and I said, listen, if you don't shape up out there, I'm going to have to spank you. And I didn't, but I gave him a chance. We walked out of the bathroom, and he starts saying, he's going to hit me, he's going to hit me. I was walking back to the table. I'm like, you're going to get hit now, buddy.
I said, no, I'm not going to hit him. I'm going to repeatedly hit him. But you want to be cautious how you do that. Now, before we go on into the gift of prophecy, mm-hmm, I want to look at this one miracle. This is a great miracle. So is God's touching somebody, opening up a blind eye? So let's give our attention to this miracle.
Die, make it whole in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, now close it up. Tell me what you got. Open this one up. What do you see? Huh? You see me?
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh. Now God's opened up this guy's blind eye, and all he says is, it's amazing. Now, he was a Muslim. That's the problem. He was a Muslim. Now, isn't that an amazing deal? God opened up his eye, and God opened up his deaf ear. That kind of stuff is worth $1 million. Hallelujah. Well, you say, yeah, hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. Isn't that a great miracle? Hallelujah.
Well, that's how easy that you as a believer can lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, and see miracles. And that's why we're teaching this. Your faith is growing, and your insight is getting deeper, broader, your understanding. And so that's why we're doing this, and you're going to end up doing that, and you're going to have many more than I'm ever going to have. And so that's what I'm believing, and I don't keep records, but I've seen lots and lots of them, and you're going to see lots and lots of them.
Yeah.
Kind of let's read from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 7 down through 11. I know some of you haven't memorized already, but let's read that.
Good to come back.
That's right.
Start from the Word.
Never get tired from the Scripture.
No matter how much you heard it, right?
That's right.
All right, verse number 7 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one given the Spirit by the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Amen. And let's read, Kylan, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 down through 5.
And it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would ye that all spake in tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except that he interpret, that the church may receive edifying.
Now, we had some questions here that were given to us right before we went on break. What's the number one question about prophecy?
The question is, how do you know that the prophecy is from God? Now, there's two ways to look at it. How do you know you're receiving or you're on the receiving end of it? And last time we talked about the receiving end of it,
yes.
You know, you're walking with God. These are confirming what God
confirming.
Is speaking with you in your journey with
yes.
Him. Okay, so we talked about that last time. So this time, how do you know you're receiving the word, that it is from God to speak, whether it's to a person, to the congregation for edification? How do you know that's from God?
Well, the first thing, let's deal with, you mentioned the office of the prophet. Realize that Agabus never gave personal direction.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything of that nature for an individual. He confirmed, Paul, you are headed to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
The man that holds this is headed to Jerusalem. He confirmed that. Now, he did prophesy of a coming event,
mm-hmm.
but not to direct a believer.
Right.
Because the Bible gives us a guarantee, you shall know his voice. My sheep know my voice. And then when we think about how prophecies direct people's lives, they even in a prophet's office, Kylan, it would never be to direct you. It would speak of something, but not maneuvering or taking you a different route than where you were headed.
Yeah.
Because that is between you and God.
Yeah.
And the prophets would certainly see the secrets of men, but they only see them in shadow form also.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be careful, no matter what a prophet says, just don't run out and do it. Write these things like Paul told Timothy. Timothy, these things were given thee by prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, now these gifts were deposited in you. Now you take that word and you meditate it. Meditate it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Judge it. Mull it over. Let it speak to you. I kind of like to think of the scripture is a word with a word.
Mm-hmm.
This is the word of God, but then there is a word in there.
Mm-hmm.
It is the voice of God.
Yep.
Now, it'll speak the same word, but it becomes alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so when prophets or people give you prophecy or things of that nature, number one, if a prophecy is not a confirmation, then I understand it is not applying to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you say, but what if it is God? Then I have an agreement with God. God, I'm not going to be led by other men. I'm not going to have you talking behind my back. I'm not going to have other people tell me what to do, where to go, when to do it. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to me, if you're not big enough to talk to me, mm-hmm. to get my attention, then just realize I'm not going to do anything. Some of you are freaking out.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's my faith in yeah. God.
Yeah. Now, there have been times, and been very few, but a handful of times, you know, I've always been in churches where the gifts of the Spirit were not suppressed. They were open and used, where somebody would say something to me as prophecy. This, I feel the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, it's not confirming anything.
No.
Later,
yes,
I tuck it in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Later, through my walk with God, things He's speaking to me, He brings back to my remembrance. Now, see, I spoke yeah. this. Now that's confirmation of what I'm saying to you right now.
Now it's like a sword being unsheathed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul told Timothy, remember that you might war a good warfare.
Right.
And those things will be like God pulling weaponry out mm-hmm. because you're getting ready to do something. You say, oh, I remember that word.
Yeah.
And now you have confirmation in the mouth of two or three mm-hmm. witnesses. So how is it that man would know that a prophecy was from God? One of the first things Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Know what? Well, we also know the fruits. The gifts
yeah.
by their fruit.
Yeah.
If they take away from Christ, absolutely not.
Right.
They're
right.
not from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if they tell you what size underwear you got on, what size you painted your colored toenails or whatever it is. I'm talking to you guys. And when this happens, we have to look at it so it will bring out the gifts of the Spirit, the gift, the prophecy, and so forth. When it's by God, guess what? You'll see the result.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the fruit of it.
Right.
People, if you've been in a service where people have come forth and gave a word from God, and that word was from the Lord, people just, wow! I mean, it changes the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of futile. And I'm not dogging anybody, but I think it's futile. Mm-hmm. To get up and prophesy, worship me and praise me, saith the Lord, for I love and I will inhabit your praises. When the people is already going crazy, clapping their hands and dancing and people laying on the floor, I got that word, okay? Then you hide that word in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a confirmation word. It wasn't a word for the congregation.
Sure.
And sometimes people, you know, I know your burden, you know, come to the altar. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Why? Because the pastor sets the order of the service.
Yeah.
You can't take away order from the headship that God has placed in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that people try to do with prophecy, Kylan, is they try to teach. They try to get some revelation
yeah.
across.
They get up there and start teaching.
Right.
You know, they're going to, yeah.
And mm-hmm. I've had to literally, and this lady is still in good standing with us and all that. And it wasn't a riff, it was just correct. And she came up and I said, hey, you know what? The last two or three weeks, now you've tried to teach these people revelation. You are not the teacher of this house.
Right.
I am.
Yeah.
I will feed these sheep. Now, if you have a word from God, go ahead and give it.
Sure.
But if you have a revelation, then you know what? You need to go back to your seat. Say, I love you, but this
right.
is not how prophecy works.
Mm-hmm.
And she took it well. She apologized and things of that nature. But I think, Kylan, that people have things they want to get across that they think that
yeah.
the church needs.
Yeah.
You don't know what sheep need.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful that we don't try to lead the congregation or a service.
Yeah.
By this manipulation of the use of a gift.
Right.
Now, so really when somebody says, well, you know, how would I know? You'll see the fruit of it.
Yeah.
If there is a, you know, a touch of God, you'll see people, you know, responding.
Yeah.
And people may come up and say, man, that was a great word. I needed that today.
Yeah.
And so you need to look for the fruit. I look at a service and I think of a service like, when a service is done, you know, I look, are the people still milling around? If they are, they're staying in the house because something is in the house.
Yeah.
You know, so I look at that. I look at really how people worship. I look even as they're giving. Mm-hmm. People have cheerful hearts. Then you know what? They're givers. If they're burdened and things like that, then you understand now they're under stress or yeah. they're under this. So you have to deal with those things in a different way. That has to do with interpretation and the discerning of spirits that we'll get into later. Yeah. But one of the biggest things, Kylan, we can see the effect of the anointing.
Yeah.
You can see it in service.
Yeah.
And the other thing aspect of that is how would prophecy come?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Prophecy can come by a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It can come through a vision. It can come...
Now, you're saying maybe an aspect to think about this, and there was a question that is, okay, so you feel like you received something for somebody.
Yes.
But can prophecy come to you for you from the dream?
Yes.
Not that you're receiving a dream
yes.
from somebody else.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. In fact, I have in my little journal that I carry with me all the time, you know, God spoke something to me in tongues and interpretation of those tongues, and I wrote it down. And that was in March 17, year 2017. So a couple weeks ago, we had the prophet of a church, Brother Bagwell, come in, and the first portion of that scripture, the Lord, I wrote down, go back to your roots. Go back and remember when I spoke to you and showed you what would happen in your backyard when you were in that dirt or church. So Brother Bagwell comes in and says, I perceive that God is taking you back to your roots and that he's going to start things anew and fresh, which was absolutely right.
Confirmation.
Then I wrote some other things in the last paragraph I wrote down. God spoke some things to me. I never told my wife, never told anybody. There was a man coming from Detroit to Cincinnati a week ago, Wednesday, would yeah. be a week of from Wednesday. And so he was driving, and he went by the church at 6 o'clock. Well, wasn't maybe a couple cars here. And the Lord told him, said, turn around. I want you to go back and prophesy to the pastor of that church. I have a word for him. And he said, God, there ain't nobody there. So we just kept on driving.
You see, he would know that.
No, right.
Because
he's from Nigeria.
He knew the voice of God because of his walk with God. He spent
Absolutely.
Time with God. He learned to discern his voice. And that's the same for all the gifts
yes.
to be moved, to be used by the gifts, that you are spending enough time with God that when God
yes.
speaks to you, you
yeah.
know that's the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so he drives, and he's arguing with God. He said, finally, I get to a place called Dayton, and he said, God, it's too far to go back. And God said, turn around and go back. So he turns around and comes back, and he gets to the church about 15 minutes before we're ending service. So about a quarter after 8, 20 after 8. He thinks Mark Fissel is a pastor because Mark's got a jacket on.
Yeah.
And I didn't wear a jacket that night, so I just wore a shirt. And so he said, are you pastor? And he said, no. So they brought him to me, and he said, I don't know you, don't want anything, don't need anything from mm-hmm. you. But God told me to come back here when I was way, way down there, a city around Dayton. He uh-huh. told me to come back, and I came back to give you this word. And what the words that he said to me, I wrote them down. And then the next morning I told Phyllis, read that last paragraph. And she read it, and she said, well, honey, can't you see that you? I said, well, I told God, I'm not writing that down. And I said, but I wrote it. I said, now look what this man said. She said, oh, my word. It was word for word, but it was confirmation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that was two different things that God had given me. I was praying in tongues, and God began to give me an interpretation
mm-hmm.
of that. He said, this is what you're discussing. This is what I'm saying to you.
Right.
And so it was like, okay, God. So,
yeah.
And yes, can God give us a prophecy for us? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
God can use the vocal gifts to us, Kylan. and speak to us. Sometimes we are afraid to hear what God is saying.
Yeah.
But when I speak in tongues and I pray in tongues, we're going to get into this, I ask God, God, let me interpret. Mm-hmm. Especially if I am praying about a specific thing mm-hmm. that we'll talk about how to do in the coming sessions here. But then if I'm praying, if the Holy Ghost is giving me the utterance about a specific thing I'm praying, then I need to ask him to interpret.
Right.
I need to know about his conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know the mystery. I need it unveiled to me so I don't walk in darkness, but that I can have clarity. Even though things will be unknown, mm-hmm. I still need clarity that this is what I'm doing.
Right.
And so that is a section of that. And then we, when how do we receive the gift of interpretation or prophecy from God?
How do we receive it?
Yes.
It's just, again, you're hearing the voice. You're reading. You know your thoughts.
Yeah.
They're confirming with your spirit that this is something God's speaking. You know, and then you got to act.
Yep. You said about when we went in the, just the last question was that God can speak to you in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can be for somebody or it can be for the church. Somebody said, Well, I didn't get it Sunday. Do you know that prophets would travel for days mm-hmm. and weeks with a word for a king?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we have to understand that the prophecy has power in it. When God says it, doesn't matter if it's Isaiah 700 years before Christ, and it doesn't matter if Samuel talked about it, realize that it's still the Word of God filled with life.
Yeah.
And so if you write it down on Tuesday, don't worry, it's still anointed Sunday. That is one. The other is that, you know, we do hear, or we may just, Kylan, have a thought.
Yep.
Sometimes people think, well, I've just got one word. Good, mm-hmm. because the rest of it is going to come as you have faith to use that one word.
Sure.
And again, you say, well, I got a thought, and, you know, I want to, well, first of all, judge these things. Is it confirmation to you of what's going on in a service that is God?
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody's shouting and jumping and praising the Lord, and you got a word, praise me, saith the Lord, we don't need for you to prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
That is a confirmation to you that this was my order for this service.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Also, when we get that, whether we have a tongue or something of that nature, the Bible says, if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent, let him pray and speak to God and to himself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to be able to judge, you know, God, is this tongue for the congregation?
Yeah.
Now realize you're going to grow in that, and you're in an atmosphere of love, and guess what?
Yeah.
We're going to love you, and we're going to pick up all the pieces. We're going to hug you and love you and say, that's okay, little one, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And then people receive in dreams and things. And one of the things that we, the congregation may not need to hear is when somebody would say, you know, I had a dream the other night. The dream is not important.
Mm-hmm.
How you received it is not. What you're delivering, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I had a thought today.
Yeah.
No. Prophesy, but don't have a thought. And you don't have to tell us what it was compared about, doesn't have to tell us about what you were thinking about. We really don't need to know if you had a vision or, you know, the windshield of your truck blew out and an angel come in and said this. When he left, he put the window back. We don't need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an angel came to me and told me this. We don't need to know that. We don't need. What we need is that you take what you got and as a mature person, mm-hmm. transform it from vision, a voice, or from a dream, and put it in verbiage that we can be edified.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that is a mistake that young Christians
yeah.
or people that don't understand. The dreams and things of that nature are the things that we're being given. Now the maturity comes when we take that vision, put it into verbiage, and cause it to be edifying, comforting, and exhorting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So we can receive Kylan through many different venues.
Right.
But the key to prophecy is to bring it to a place that it meets the criteria of edifying, comforting, and exhorting.
Yeah.
How God got it to you is the way that God's dealing with you. We don't sure. need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to explain yourself. Just get up and say, this is what the Lord said, or thus saith the Lord, or
yeah.
however you want to do it.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Now, this goes more to the office of a prophet.
Okay.
Okay, so prophecy, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But again, the question kind of shifts to the office of a prophet. Once given the gift, can someone lose the gift? Now, the gift is something that you don't keep. It's
no.
given as the Spirit determines. But the office of prophet is
given.
Yes.
And you have ownership of it. The Bible says in Romans 12, is it Romans 12 says the gifts, no, Romans 11, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, God kind of anointed you to be a pastor
mm-hmm.
before the foundations of the earth. Whether you made a choice to serve God, rebel right. against God, curse God, sell your soul to the devil, it didn't matter. God gave you a gift.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to be accountable for that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God did that without you ever repenting or without you doing anything.
Yeah.
It was God's sovereign infusion of his gift, purpose for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get that, it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use that, Kylan, for anything that you want. You can use it in a secular world. You can use it in a business world. You can use it in all kinds of places, or you can use it for kingdom purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And every gift is like that. Every talent is like that.
Right.
Because Paul said, even when you go to work, that you don't work as unto men with eye service or men pleasers. You work as unto the Lord. And so every gift is given to man. It is a sovereign choice of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then when these come, you can use them for whatever you want to use them for.
Okay.
Some singers that are great singers today should be singing in churches right now.
Sure.
Well, absolutely. But they don't make the money. It's not about money. It's about money. Eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Eternity. And so that is given to them. Now, that is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
If they are operating in the office of the prophet and they leave it because of discouragement or whatever it is, then guess what? They're going to pay the price.
Sure.
If, because they're going to bury the talent, if they take that and they have that gift, Kylan, and they sin, now the gift will not be taken away, but it may very well be squelched in an attempt to get your attention,
yeah.
to call you back
yeah.
to God.